some phonics.
So I got hop, I got
dance,
I got
rockin' electronic
club beats. I got
hip hop music with the future flow.
Even if the sky is falling.
Yo, ladies and gentlemen, what are you talking about? We'll be on 2 minutes. It's your boy ZAP. Stay tuned if you want something sexy.
What's up, everybody? This is DJ P-Yob.
What up, boys and girls? This is DJ T-Baby. This is What Are You Talking About?
Let's go!
Get it!
You think it's your
yo. Yeah. It's your boy. Flows impenetrable.
What?
Impregnable. Yo. Man, cut that beat. Cut that beat.
What up, T? What up, T?
What up? What up, P? What up, P? What up, everybody? This is DJ T, baby. I am accompanied by my boy DJ P-Yab, and this is another episode of What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu. I said, and ladies and gentlemen, we have a great show in store. DJ P-Yab's been working just incredibly hard to formulate great topics to discuss, and we will discuss them with unprecedented intelligence and insight that you've never heard anywhere else. Pia, what do you think about that? Yeah. Talk to him. Yeah. Look. What's up? What's up? Okay, Pia is just getting his thoughts together. But again, it's DJ T-Baby. It's your boy. And this is What Are You Talking About? And today, just to go over some of the topics we're going to be discussing. Well, first of all, I'm going to rap a little bit. If you've been tuning in before, you know I like to rap. That's going to come on after our first commercial break in about 15, 20 minutes. But before we do that, we are going to talk some NBA basketball. Obviously, all you Bay Area fans know the Warriors have been struggling this year. They still reel in a lot of fans. Their fan base is strong. I watch all the games. Most of their games are sold out, but the fact remains that they are struggling. Their record is poor, and they are in need of some potentially great changes. So we are going to talk about some possible trades that might include Monte Ellis, maybe Steph Curry, maybe bringing in some big names into Golden State. Maybe they're going to have to start rebuilding, even though it seems like they're already in a rebuilding process. We're going to talk about NBA. Also talk about dunks, some Blake Griffin versus LeBron, who had the best dunk. And we're going to have that. P.I.B. is trying to get back on the mic, I think. We're going to have some segments.
I said, yo.
I said, yo.
And I said, yo.
You said, yo?
Listen, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, T-Baby killed it on this track right now. He's got something. He's gonna spit for West Side Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. But other than that, young fella, we got an ego. And we're going to be talking about the Golden State Warriors. And T, you're right about this. The Monte Ellis thing is big.
Yeah. It's huge. It's huge.
So here's the topic. What do you think about this trade rumor? Monte Ellis for Chris Kaman and their first round pick, which is owned by Minnesota. And that pick will be in the top five of this year's draft because of Minnesota's record. So what do you think about that trade, T?
Okay, I'll tell you what. First of all, I don't like losing intentionally, and I'm not saying that they would be losing intentionally, but if you give up Monte Ellis and you receive Chris Kaman and a pick in return, the Warriors' record this year is going to be nothing short of pitiful. They are going to be absolutely terrible. They're already not very good. They do compete with teams, but I mean, their record indicates, and if you watch them play, you realize that they just aren't that deep and solid of a squadron. But they are fun to watch, and I think if they trade, sometimes they're fun to watch, not all the time, but if they trade Monte, I feel like it's just not a good idea. So many Warrior fans just love the idea of trading Monte. I don't think that's a good trade. I know if they get that pick, it's Minnesota's pick or whatever, and then they have like a top five, top six, seven pick, and it could be someone great, and next year's draft class is deep. I don't like it. I think keep Monte. What do you think?
I say, look, T, I like Monte, but I'm going to be devil's advocate here, and I say trade them. You have to rebuild, T. This is a bad team already and a good conference. The only reason you trade Monte is to rebuild, and the Warriors are already at a bad spot, T.
They're in a bad spot, but the thing that people don't understand is if they get this Kaman and this pick, there's no guarantee that this pick is going to make something fantastic. I would even go as far as saying the odds of the pick that they get being as good as Monte Ellis are about maybe 10%.
I say you just trade Monte because Monte is a ball hog. Yeah, he can't play with Chris. Chris Kaman, I'm saying, if they do get Chris Kaman, he can't play with Steph. He can't play with David Lee. Also, he's carrying the team on his back.
He can.
And also, if Stephen Curry's healthy, this team will make the playoffs.
Okay, first of all, they won't make the playoffs even with a healthy Steph.
Okay.
Second of all, Monte can play with Steph. I'd like to see any other combo of guards play when your starting center is Andres Biedrins. And even putting Darrell Wright in the starting lineup is seeming like a joke now. Darrell, I was talking with DJ B earlier. We're both pretty much on the same page with Darrell Wright had his year, but this year he's not having his year. So he doesn't look like a starting NBA player. So when you have two liabilities in the starting lineup, it's tough to be good.
Well, I say you have to, because they're already struggling because they don't have a big man. David Lee's just a power forward.
Yeah.
He's not a center. And
he can't play center.
He can't. And then who else you got? You got Jeremy Tyler, who's 20 years old and is nothing. He was in Japan, and I'm going to say this truthfully, he was still nothing.
Well, he might be something in a few years, but
maybe.
He's 20. He's our age. He's very young. And they got Udo. They got Maguire. They have so many between below average and average players.
It's just the trade with the Kwame Brown that was huge. The Kwame Brown trade was huge. Other than that.
The signing of Kwame? You're talking about the offseason?
The loss. The loss
was
bad.
Yes, it's a big loss because he was their backup, but he logged heavy minutes. But back to Monte, I just don't see why so many Warrior fans are readily eager to deal Monte. Like, even they're talking about for Iguodala, for Gay. Some of those are somewhat appealing, but the thing about Monte, he shoots a low percentage. This year, his percentage is a little low. It's in the low 40s. He used to be around 50s, but that's when he had Baron Davis. But Monte has the ball in his hands so much because he has to create. He has to shoot a low percentage, essentially. He's forced to shoot a low percentage because of his teammates.
Well, this is my thing on Monte, T. He believes that he's the best player on the team.
He is.
You believe so?
He is.
I think if Steph has the ball more in his hands and distributes, and Monte will not take it to the hoop so much, I think he has to be more of a player like that.
I agree. I agree that Monte's better when he works with Steph.
Yeah, he has to work with Steph. But what I'm seeing with the Warriors team is Monte believes he knows it's his team. He wants to take it to the hoop. He wants to score every time, which is not, it's not good. It's not bad. I know what you're. I know he's trying to help the team. It's honestly a nothing. If you get David Lee more involved, and Steph could shoot an open three, you get Darrell Wright involved.
Well,
if Darrell Wright will take it to the hoop once in a while, this team would be good. But if Monte is just the same Monte he was in that 07 season, this Warriors team will be a playoff team. They need they need a star.
Whoa.
They need a star. That's all they need, a star. A center or a small forward. Then Monte will be the Monte of old.
Well, I need to interject a thought here.
What's that,
After that long spiel.
What is it, T?
You said David Lee needs to get more involved. David Lee is heavily involved.
Okay.
He's having maybe an all-star caliber season.
No, he is.
And you say Darrell Wright needs to get more involved. He does. But the thing is, does he have the talent and the caliber to get more involved? Is it possible Darrell Wright had his year where he drained threes, led the NBA in threes, had a great season, and now they've just figured him out? Because if you look at Darrell Wright play, he pump fakes probably more than every player I've ever seen in the NBA.
And all, you know what's funny? He pump fakes, T, but he doesn't get to the line. He has to get to the line.
He's just – but the thing is, I like Darrell Wright. And he's still a young man. What is he, 25, 26? He still could be entering the prime of his career. I do like Darrell Wright as a player. I don't think he's a starting small forward. I think he should be a guy that comes off the bench and plays maybe like 18 to 23 minutes. I'm trying to make stuff. I could have said 20 to 25. I'm saying 18 to 23. That's the kind of guy Darrell Wright should be.
Look, I just say that Darrell Wright is just your three-point guy. He's a guy that doesn't take it to the hoop. I know I did say take it to the hoop because no one else on the team would. You have McGuire, who's a nothing.
And then he's defensively minded.
He is, but we even talked about this when we were watching the game. Who in the NBA would want a Dominic McGuire?
Yeah, he's a...
No one would want that.
It's a typical Warriors
sign. He's a piece of art.
Well, I actually remember when he went to Cal before he transferred to Fresno State, I saw him play, and he was actually a fairly anticipated prospect. But he's not a guy you want to see regularly on the floor. It's just...
No.
It's just a typical Warrior bench player is like a Dominic McGuire.
So about this, let's just say this deal happens. The Monte for Chris Kaman. And this first-round pick, will Chris Kaman be a big impact? He was a big impact with the Clippers, but it's because they had more people around him.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Kaman is a solid player, and I actually like him because he's like this kind of big, white, oaf-looking guy. He doesn't – I mean, he's obviously huge. He's tall. But he doesn't really look like an NBA player when you look at him. And I always have been fond of his game. But I don't think him going to the Warriors is the answer by any stretch of the imagination.
Look, I think even the Minnesota first-round pick – I mean, do you think Harrison Barnes, if he is available, Harrison Barnes out of North Carolina, and the Warriors do draft this guy – will he have that big impact? The Warriors they have history of drafting bad. You have a Brandon Wright and you traded one of your stars for Jason Richardson, who could have been someone with you guys, with a Monte Ellis. Monte could have learned from him a bit more. And with the Golden State Warriors, Jason Richardson had his best years of his life. And also, you draft an Anthony Randolph, and everyone thought this man would be a stud, including me.
Yeah.
He had a ceiling. He had a high ceiling. Now, with him in the Warriors locker room, he was just a cancer patient. He was bad. It was just bad. He was a cancer. That's what everyone says, like a T.O. He was that.
Well, the thing is, at least T.O. was productive. Randolph didn't do much.
Yeah. And then also, then you draft an Andres Biedrins, who only had one good year. A Mike Dunleavy, who you thought would be good in Duke. Now with new ownership, will these guys draft well? First, they drafted Epe Udo, who's okay.
But not a good pick.
But the Klay Thompson one I like.
Oh, cool. Of course. And I over pretty much everybody, all Warrior fans, I was on Klay Thompson for a long time. A lot of people now love him because he's doing well. I saw him play. I'm not trying to make myself a god here, but I saw him play at Washington State against Cal, or when he went to Washington State against Cal like three times, killed Cal. I've always loved Klay Thompson. I really do like that pick. Here is what I propose, though. I think the Warriors need to keep Monte, Steph, Lee intact. I know Lee makes a lot of money. I know Monte makes a lot of money. I know these guys make a lot of money. But a lot of Warrior fans just have this mindset like, oh, you need to trade Lee. You need to trade Monte, keep Curry, or trade Curry, keep Monte, rebuild, get Iguodala, get draft picks. What are the odds that after they make all these moves and maybe it takes like 3, 4, 5 years for the Warriors to maybe be relevant and good, what are the odds the team they even put together is better than the team they have now? You could make an argument that it's worth a shot, but I don't think getting a Harrison Barnes, which who they probably won't even get. They won't even get a player of that caliber with a pick. I just feel so strongly that the player they get will not ever come close to what Monte Ellis has done. Monte Ellis is an elite player. I think he's heavily, heavily disrespected by just the whole consensus of the NBA. I think he's much better than people give him credit for.
Let's just say this. Monte Ellis was an all-star last year. Last season, he deserved to be on that all-star team. Other than that, Monte is still having a really good year.
He is. His shooting percentage is down. I got the stats with me. He's 40.8, which isn't even terrible. It's not good, but take a guy like Allen Iverson. I'm not comparing the two because AI murders Monte on the court any day. But Monte, you could say he's a poor man's Allen Iverson. Similar. Significantly worse. But Allen Iverson, I don't have the numbers on me. His career shooting percentage, I guarantee you, was either 40, 41%, something like that. But he was beloved by almost everybody because of his antics, but also because of the player he was. And Monte is that kind of player. Again, he's worse. But his career percentage isn't 40. His career percentage is about 47. His career numbers are 19, 4, and 4 in 3 turnovers. So 4 assists, 3 turnovers, not good. But he's an off guard. But that's also accounting for his rookie year and his second year when he wasn't very productive. He's had 25 points per game in a season, 24 points per game. Monte Ellis is an elite player. So if you deal him, you are significantly losing a great degree of offense. And I don't know where the offense is going to come from.
Hold on a little second there, T-Babe.
Yeah, I'm getting worked up over here.
Listen, if you said Klay Thompson is the man he is in Washington State, then I think Dylan Monte would be perfect for the Warriors because Klay Thompson will step in and be the man that he's supposed to be.
Okay.
Bears are who we thought they were.
No. The thing about Klay Thompson, as much as I love him, best case scenario, best case for career numbers, he's about a 15, 16, maybe 17 points a game in his career. Monte is at 19, but again, that's with his first couple years being off. So that's the thing. When you look at Monte, you think he's probably like 25 a game in his career. He's 19 a game. You realize how good Klay Thompson would have to be to average that many? I think he's going to be about 14 a game in his career once he really gets going. But he's not going to be a star.
No.
I don't think he'll ever make an all-star game. He's not going to be even an elite player. I think he'll be a very solid and productive NBA player. A starter, for sure.
So you think he'll be like a James Harden?
I think Harden blows him out of the water.
Okay,
but
so maybe a Cephalosha.
No, because Cephalosha's defensively minded. I don't know if I can compare him because he is very tall for the position he plays.
Yeah.
I know a lot of guards can be like 6'7". I don't know. He's an interesting player.
He is.
But he's not going to be a stud, but I think he's going to be very good. And again, some people are going to say, oh, T-Babe, what are you talking about? He already is a stud. Trust me, I've been watching this guy for a long time. His potential is not 22 a game. That's not what he's going to do.
Honestly, when I see Klay Thompson play, I think his average should be about 8 a game.
For like his rookie year, though. I'm talking about in the future, though.
In the future?
At least like 12.
I think he'll average 14 a game.
Okay, and that's very fair.
It's very good. It's very good, but
it's productive.
I mean, he won't make an all-star team, but he can make a three-point shooting contest.
But this is where I need to interject a thought.
What is that?
I need to interject a thought here.
What? Say it.
You
don't
said,
spray it.
Shut up. You said trade Monte and Thompson essentially fills the shoes. How is Klay Thompson gonna fill Monte's shoes?
Because Klay Thompson could shoot threes and Monte forces threes.
No.
There you go.
Okay.
I win. Now
no. Klay Thompson shoots threes well, but he can't create as much as Monte. Yeah, he's a rookie. But while you said that, I want to say one thing. Monte Ellis should never take a three-pointer.
Yeah.
And I've been saying this for years. I'm not going to act like it's my original premise because Jim Barnett said it, I think. It was either Barnett or Fitzgerald. One of them said when Monte started shooting threes more, I think it was in his second year, he started shooting a little bit more. The announcer said they just wish he didn't develop a three.
That's true.
Because when you develop that three, you settle. And we're looking at his numbers, P. Last year, 36%, pretty good, like good enough,
it's
but
okay.
Not great. But
no,
good
it's just okay.
Career 32%, I'd say pretty bad. Not terrible, but not good. 32% when you're taking 2.5 a game like he is, you should not be shooting threes. This year, 23%.
Yeah.
Less than 1 for 4 from three.
And that's why you trade him.
What is he? In terms of quickness, maybe top 3 in the NBA in terms of quickness.
No, honestly, maybe fastest player in the NBA.
Getting to the bucket, I'd say maybe Wade, maybe LeBron, then Ellis in terms of quickest to get to the bucket.
This is what I say. Quickest to get to the bucket, it goes LeBron, then Ellis. I'm serious.
And creating your own shot, Ellis easily top 5. He can get any shot he wants.
Ellis number 1 on
the
that.
The problem is what Warrior fans need to notice is that Monte Ellis is getting trapped by double teams and just intense defensive pressure because they know that Darrell Wright or Udo or whoever they got in the game will not create their own shot.
If you got something to say, then call us at 415-482-3587. You're listening to What Are You Talking About? Now, yeah. T, before we get to this break.
Yeah, we're going to get to break in a second.
Yeah, we are. What is your idealistic trade for the Golden State Warriors this season? Or you don't even have to trade anyone, but what's your idealistic trade?
I'm actually a little confused. I think I was going to make a point earlier, but I forgot to. But this question relates to the point I would have made.
Okay, let's hear it.
If that makes sense.
Okay, philosophy man.
All right,
I'm asking you a question. Now you answer. Right. Now I'm babbling.
All right, settle down. Settle down.
Okay, sorry.
I don't anticipate any tremendous trade because I don't want to be one of those fans who says, the Warriors need Kevin Love. The Warriors need Chris Paul. All these unrealistic possibilities that aren't even really put. They're like, there's like a 1% likelihood that any of these wild deals will happen. What I think is, again, I think I did say this earlier, you need to keep the team intact with Monte, Steph, and Lee. You just need to start drafting better and sign some free agents. I realize a lot of people don't want to play for the Warriors, but the answer is not just having a fire sale. That I just don't think you need to have a fire sale, even though I know they're bad right now, but they're young. Aren't they the youngest team in the NBA?
They are.
So start, but Monte's still young. Monte's, what, 26 years old?
I think even younger than that. He left high school.
I think he's 26, born in 1985.
Yeah.
26 will be, I'm terrible at math. I think 26 will be 27. Curry's in his young 20s. Lee's not even an old guy.
No. Well, he's like about 28, 29.
Yeah.
But let's just say this here, T, and I'm pretty sure a lot of true basketball watchers who follow the Golden State Warriors will agree with me on this. If you think the Golden State Warriors are going to get a Dwight Howard, if you think they're going to try to trade for Chris Paul, someone like that, then honestly, I'm just going to say this right now because it's already late in the season. You're stupid. I'm just going to say that you're stupid if you think that they're going to get a big-time star. I'm just going to be solid on that. You're stupid.
Well, in the words of someone I can't quote because I don't remember his name, but I read in a book once, you're wrong and I'm right. That's how I feel these Warrior fans who want these crazy deals to happen that will never happen. You're just wrong and I'm right. I knew they wouldn't get Chris Paul.
No, I did too.
I knew they wouldn't get Chandler. Okay, I thought they might get Chandler, but I knew it was unlikely.
I thought they were definitely going to get DeAndre. That just
I thought for sure they'd get DeAndre Jordan.
But let's just say, your idealistic trade for the Golden State Warriors team, if you had a trade, who would it be?
It's tough because, God, I don't know. They need a center, but like besides Dwight Howard, who do you want?
Just an idealistic trade. It can be simple. You don't have to trade big here.
Okay. For a trade, who I want just gone, I want Udo gone. I don't like Udo, even though he provides hustle points. So package these bench players, like get rid of Maguire and Udo and give me someone like decent. I don't know. My thing is that's a bad question for me to answer because I don't want them to make a trade this year.
Honestly,
what about you? What are your thoughts?
The only person you have to get rid of because you need these bench players, T, I hate to disagree with you because I love you like a brother.
Okay.
But you have to get rid of Andres Bejerns.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But
okay.
But
I forgot. I'm an idiot because I should have said that.
But for who? For who? That's
the
question.
Thing.
If you could get, honestly, I'll just take a solid backup for Andres Bejerns.
Yeah.
I'll take a solid backup center. If you could get maybe an Ashik
but Ashik's good.
He is.
And who wants Beads? Honestly,
yeah,
Who wants him?
And honestly, maybe a Spencer Hawes.
But Hawes is very talented. How are they going to get him?
And even a Nick Collison.
Okay, but these are deals that won't happen. But okay, Collison could happen.
Yeah,
Collison could happen.
If you could get like a Collison.
No.
Just someone of his caliber. That's
Collison
what I'm saying.
Collison couldn't happen, but yes, someone of his caliber. Because the Thunder have a nucleus. They're not going to deal Collison.
Okay.
On that note.
They're in first place.
On that note, with this great intensity, I think we need a quick commercial break. It's only an hour show. We're about 22 minutes deep. But
jeez.
This is DJT, baby. Your boy DJ Pieb is on the mics. It's What Are You Talking About? It's only available via radio.dominican.edu. I'm very excited. That's why I'm talking fast and with a lot of intensity. But ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. I'm going to wrap after the commercial break.
What to say? Don't wanna come off lame. Girl, do you?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is your boy DJ T Baby. I'm just chilling in the studio. I was gonna say booth, but I guess it's more of a studio. Could be argued as a booth as well. With my boy DJ Piab. It's what are you talking about? It's radio.dominican.edu. We got about 30 minutes left. And Lady Madonna will be on after us, so be sure to tune in as well. Monday, or what day? I don't even know. Tuesday. Wednesdays.
Wednesdays,
there's a great lineup. There's great lineups all
there,
week.
There is. It's a great station.
But we got some time left, and we still got some stuff we want to talk about.
We do. But, T, before we get that stuff in, you know what it is.
Yeah.
You know what it is.
What time it is, though?
Hey, man, it's on 325, man. Westside Wednesday. What up? Yo, T-Baby in there, Mo.
I'm in the building.
He in the building.
Time to bless these mics.
Man, bless this.
Time to talk to these ignorant people.
You about to, man.
I don't mean you people.
No,
you
man.
People, the listeners, you're not ignorant. If you're listening, what are you talking about? You're intelligent. You're intellectually gifted.
Maybe
I'm talking about. I'm talking about the haters. I'm talking about the skeptics. I'm talking about the critics. I'm talking about the people that want to rip my style. But I'm about to bless the mic for them.
T, can you baptize this mic right now?
Baptize this microphone.
Can you baptize this mic?
Are we ready?
Yeah, we ready.
It goes like this, though.
I'm a mute
this, man. The story
this,
goes like this.
What's it?
Okay.
Say it.
Check me out.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah.
Who's chilling, my homie? Who's killing when flowing? Who's ripping at Coley and spitting the dopest? If you're the realest, then show me I don't feel you. You're only in the way of my title, and I'm getting that trophy. I said my story's tougher to see and harder to tell. I don't keep track of the battlers I dispose of. No notch in my belt. See me in the ring, and your eye sockets will swell. When I go nuts, reason awakens and logic compels. In an army against spiritually inept imbeciles, my squad will prevail. So dangerous when I think even my very thoughts can impale. The weight delivered by my bars is beyond just a scale. Soul-taking and bone-breaking deliveries, you're too awful and frail, but let's take the rhymes farther. A night walker who might slaughter your compiled roster. I'm a divine monster, the light guarder, knife sharper than the next dudes. Wreck you if I offer a line, my mind's darker. I swear if these guys wander in front of me, I'll quit being the teacher and start to wreck students. These bars are the best a man can get. Gillette Fusion, rap conquer, next movement, step to it, see me get ruined. I said putrid is my style, nasty is my way of spitting. What I say is vivid, deranged and wicked. Create an image like I'm made to rip it. I embrace conviction, place incisions upon your raps. Your lames are tripping, pain afflicted to my veins. The friction is insane and livid, yet I still function in a great condition. Take your writtens and match them next to mine. Rapture flow like the end is fine. I have never been anything less than prime. I originally wrote out the clouds and sketched the skies. Prophetic nature, I tend to guide. Who's the next to try? I've got swords ready to stab. My psychological state is incredibly mad. These boring rappers are relentlessly bland. My energy spans to a point in which defensive teams jam amongst the wavelengths. I set records that can't be broken by any humans, but with the devil I endlessly dance. Two-step and crew sets and any squadron can get it. I'm not talking with gimmicks. Carbon copy rappers, I'm popping you mimics. Philosophical weaponry locked and I'm clicking. Your family needs hospital visits. The doctors will listen to your heartbeat. Start beef. And it's my job that it stops with a ticking. I'll walk a road fulfilling my honorable mission. You are far from militarily infallible. Your armor is missing. I'll raise my arm to the vicious. Spit a bar for the sickest. Rapping forever in this world. Time is my friend. The clock's my assistant. I'm haunted by visions that seem to wrongfully kick in. Rhyming, forcing. I'm Michael Jordan of rap. You're not even thought to be Pippin. I am a nomadic traveler wandering an unknown area. The marcher has risen. If we spar, it's a given that you'll drop fast. Talk trash and get sent to God in a minute. I haven't just started. I've been in the game when they're needing the clutch. If you don't pass me the mic every few seconds, then you're speaking too much. Lyrically mean when I punch, freakishly fast speeds when I rush. I've got the battle crown, gavel down. You boys are too easy to judge.
Oh, yo, yo, yo,
yo,
yo, yo, dude.
Ball
T,
game.
T.
Ball game.
Say that. Say ball game one more time.
Ball game.
T, that was ball game. And I'm going to say this. Combination between Jay-Z and Immortal Technique. If you don't know who Immortal Technique is, look, I'm not into that whole underground stuff. T-Baby is, but I'm going to tell you this. Immortal Technique is a philosopher in lyrics, and that's what T-Baby is as well. A philosopher in lyrics.
Thank you.
That's all I got to say.
Thank you, PM.
I'm done.
Thank you.
Done.
I told you I'm trying to bless the mics. I don't know if I did or not, but I tried to bless the mic.
Baptize this. I felt
like I did. I tried my best. I said on Facebook, I made my status, going to deliver some quality bars. I felt like they're quality. I don't know if the people like them. I don't know if they didn't. Jordan, if you liked them, call in.
Jordan, like, Pippen. Oh! I'm done. I ain't saying nothing no more. Yeah. Now, I just got one question for you, T.
Yeah, hit me.
What inspired you to make this rap?
Okay, well, the thing is...
You know, I'm just going to say this before he answers this question. Ladies and gentlemen, T-Baby, I'm going to say, I'm guessing he made this right before the show. I'm guessing.
No, I mean, I can't say that because that'd be... I wrote it last night. But I took my time. I'm not going to say I wrote it in 10 minutes. Like, it took me like a couple hours, you know?
For all you want to be rappers out there, get out.
Yeah.
Get out.
Because last week I spit something that I just wrote. This week, this was more polished, so I feel like I delivered it better. But when you ask the inspiration, it's funny because I write my stuff. We talked about last week, so we'll just keep it quick here.
Yeah.
But I write my stuff on my laptop, so I have a bunch of like folders where I put my bars. So I have the stuff that I actually write, my serious spoken word stuff, is in one folder. The stuff I write for like the show or for like a battle or for just rapping, I call the folder messing around because that's what I feel like I'm doing right now. I'm trying to like... You know, I'm trying to deliver the bars. I'm trying to have the underground touch on them. But, you know, we're just in the studio. We're just chilling. We're just messing around. You know? We're just messing around.
Look.
So that's what I entitled. So that's my inspiration. It's just like free verse, free flowing, write whatever comes to mind, tell a story, don't tell a story, just spit. That's what I want to do is just spit, just rap, just rhyme.
Look, T, I just got one thing to say. For all you wannabes out there, I'm going to say again, get out. Get out. He did this in a day. Can you guys do that in a day? The Jordan-like Pippen got me out of my seat. That's all I got to say. We'll be back. Radio.Dominican.edu. I'm DJ Pia. That's DJ T-Baby.
Yep.
When we come back, we got a Would You Rather segment. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, T-Baby has a man. I got a bro.
Yep.
And I got to say Dunk of the Year. That's coming up also. Stay tuned. Radio.Dominican.edu.
Trying to celebrate my Independence Day. Will Smith, baby girl, who I'm kidding, still sick. Real on my new, see me get old real quick. Hey, could it be you everything that this plain couldn't be? Is it a sign from the Lord that I shouldn't be? Lost in the playaway, so they get hold of me. Got me on layaway, girl, you got a hold on me. I say I'm wrong, you say come again. Said I was wrong, look, don't rub it in. I got a lot on my mind, got a flock full of dimes, like a line full of how they coming in. Just saying, don't wanna have me, then somebody will. I'm playing, weight on my chest like I body build. I'm praying, you ain't content with trying to do your thing. And come back, baby, boomerang, rank, rank. I love you enough to let you go.
Face on the other hand, I couldn't take it. If I put all I got in you and someone got you naked. You work hard for money, but it's harder when you make it. These chicks coming fast, here's your heart before I break it.
I think I love you, don't let me get in the way. Don't let me stop you, girl, from doing your thing. Cause I don't deserve you. I don't wanna hurt you, play with your mind. Have you running in circles, don't let me.
What I be to hold you up? You need someone to hold you down and wreck your life stuff. I gotta shake you out my system. Cause with this, with the and kissing and all your emotions next and puts me in a tough position. Baby, what am I supposed to do? I can't control my actions when I'm close to you. We've been way too long, girl, we're overdue. I guess the cake ain't enough, you wanna eat it too. See, me and you have a magnet in between that keeps pulling me close. I'm like an addict for your scream. You're fully loaded, toaster automatic with the beam. The baddest on the coast, I got to have you like the green. Your swag is more than most. I got a sex drive that won't allow me to lax. Bring on the next five, look how they crowd on my lap. Booty, breast, thighs, keep your boy relapsing back. And you deserve way more than that. I'll just fall back.
I think I love you. Don't let me get in the way.
Get in the way.
Don't let me stop you, girl. Don't do your thing.
Do your thing.
Cause I don't deserve you.
Nah.
I don't wanna hurt you.
Nah. Yeah. If you like that kind of music, you're listening. So what are you talking about on radio.dominican.edu? This is your boy DJ P-Up, DJ T-Baby to my right.
What up?
Yo, man, DJ T-Baby, if you missed it, then you missed out badly because DJ T-Baby baptized the mic. Like how Kobe Bryant baptized Dwight Howard.
Hey, I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
Now we're going to try something different here. A Would You Rather segment, one of our favorite segments on radio.dominican.edu, maybe the best.
Maybe.
And also, here it is. Here we have always, we're always going to have three questions for this, 3 to 2 every week. So, ladies and gentlemen, what would you rather? This is what it's called, Would You Rather. So, T-Baby, first question. Would you rather use a basketball player's dirty, sweaty gym sock as a face towel or literally bite a baby's dirty diaper?
God, come on.
What, T?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me? I'm not coming up with these questions.
Yes, you are.
I'm not. It's fair.
You formulate these questions in your own time.
Look, I can't even do algebra formulas.
That's
so
disgusting. The thing
what?
Is, that's gross.
What?
I'm sensitive about my skin.
You are, and I have sensitive skin. I use baby powder
every day. And listeners, if you
true.
Say that's bad, I say I'm sensitive about my skin. I don't care what you think.
We don't care what
it
you think.
It takes a man to admit that he has sensitive skin. So I'm not about to wipe a dirty towel on my face, but I'm not trying to bite a diaper either. Isn't it like, can't you get some sort of infection or like disease from biting a diaper?
I don't know.
Gosh.
I don't know. I never did it. So, I mean, yo, this is literally a weird question.
Before I answer, a dirty towel
as a face towel.
I don't want any judgments about what I pick because I feel like it's such a disgusting, severely disgusting question that regardless of what I say, it's a terrible answer. So,
yeah.
I got to pick something. I'm going to go with the diaper.
Oh, really? You're going to bite the dirty diaper?
Yeah, because I'm interpreting the way you asked. You say bite the diaper. To me, all that means is like barely. I'm not biting it like my front teeth touch the bottom teeth. My teeth just have to touch it. That's a bite. My teeth touch it.
That's
how I interpret it. You didn't make it clear, so that's how I interpret it.
A bite's like honestly biting a sandwich. Like,
no, sometimes people bite sandwiches without their teeth touching. Like the
is that possible?
No, not
is that possible?
You gotta let me finish.
What's that teeth?
I don't mean just your teeth. I mean your. I'm not a dentist. I didn't go to dentist. Dental school. Dental school.
Dental school.
You study dentistry.
You do.
To be a dentist.
And you're a dentist.
But I'm talking about your teeth on the top touching your teeth on the bottom. You can just like nick it. You don't have to go all the way down. So that's what I would do. What's your answer, tough guy?
But first of all, I just want to know, when you mean nick it, how do you get the meat out
that
of there?
I'm not talking about, I'm saying that's what I would do for the diaper, but I'm saying you can do that with the sandwich.
So
it's thinly cut meat, it's easy to bite. You don't have to eat it like you've never eaten your life before.
So
you
your
can
teeth
just
are just
calm bites.
But do your teeth touch the diaper?
Yeah, of course, because you're biting it, but not much. I'm not gonna penetrate the diaper.
No, you're not. But you have to
unleash the beast.
You have to at least bite it like.
No, not like.
No.
When you say bite it like that, and then you don't say what it is when you just mouth it, people don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, this is how I'm gonna do. I'm gonna bite this If I'm, I choose, because honestly, you're going to use a sweaty gym sock as a face towel? Oh my God.
Just pick and move on. Come on.
The diaper, I'll choose the diaper, okay. But you're gonna, I'm going to bite it like a man.
Okay, and then you're going to have some sort of oral infection,
but
I won't.
I'm just going to bite it like I'm going to get my front two teeth and nick it like that.
All right, I think we need to move on to the next question.
Okay, next question. This was on Fear Factor, T.
No, these are your questions.
No, they're
not. You composed these filthy questions.
I did not compose these questions.
Out of some sort of sick fantasy. And ladies and gentlemen, DJ Biggie Bencomo is in the studio for all you ladies that have been waiting for him. He's in the studio, but he's not on the mic right now. We still have to finish this segment.
Studio loving. But first of all, here's
next question. Yeah.
I don't make these questions. I just read them. It's fan mail. This is from Wakushi Kabayashi.
It's not. It's from you. Just read the darn thing.
Okay.
And you know that.
This was on Fear Factor, though. Would you rather drink donkey semen or suck on a cow's nipples for milk?
Okay, see, the thing about these questions, I don't want to say you're not taking it deep enough because it's already incredibly gross. But what I'm saying is, when you say something like suck the milk from a cow's nipple, it's like, how long are you sucking for? Is it like your mouth is just on it and then, you know, like, is there a tactic? Like, could you be better at sucking it than I am and then the milk comes sooner? No. Like, could I be bad at it? I'm sucking for like 8 minutes. Like, what? Come on. I don't know. What are the specifics?
You're thirsty. You just want some milk, and you could suck on that nibble for about like a second as long as you get a taste of
milk. Milk was a bad choice. If you've seen Anchorman, you know milk on a hot day is not quenching, let alone freshly squeezed milk from a cow's nipple.
But donkey semen, why did they even allow that on Fear Factor?
I'm
serious.
This is the thing. I feel like if you drink donkey semen, your health is in jeopardy. Like, I know for Fear Factor, they must, like, be approved. Their stuff has to be approved by somebody.
Honestly,
the people have to sign a waiver or something.
Yeah. But I'd only do the donkey semen only if it was on Fear Factor there's no health risk at all.
Here's a question I have for all you lawyers out there. Is drinking donkey semen, can that be classified as a subcategory of bestiality?
Yeah.
You're drinking the semen from a donkey. That seems like bestiality. It's a sexual relation with an animal. That's sick.
Why is the
Joe Rogan's a madman?
Why is the semen even in the show? Why is there even semen involved in a show?
And this is the thing, we're getting gross, but you realize that for the semen to be at the hands of the contestants, let me say this. That means some poor soul's job is to get donkey semen
to excrete
the semen from the donkey.
Oh my God.
And give it to the contestant. So that's just too gross for me. I'm taking the cow. Next question.
Oh.
I want to move on, and I want to pretend that this conversation never happened. Next question.
This is the last question before we go to a break. Would you rather... This is an okay question.
Okay, how about a decent one?
It is. This is okay. Would you rather... This is from Tokyo Kamba
Baba. It's from you, PM. You write all these questions.
Would you rather get slapped in the chest by the Big Show, like those big slaps he does, or get choke slammed by the Undertaker? You have to take one.
Okay, this is the thing again. How hard is the slap?
The slap is like his real slaps.
Like a hard slap.
Like a big bare hand slap to your chest. It sounds like this. Like, bam.
Jesus.
Like, that's a big slap.
Okay. For those of you who don't know wrestling, Big Show is about what?
Seven foot.
And
300,
five,
no,
more
400
than that,
pounds.
400 pounds. And Undertaker's massive.
Undertaker's 6'10", 350.
And one of the scariest men to ever roam the earth. So, okay. I'm gonna not choose Undertaker because I would be so terrified when I'm midair. When he's got me in the air, even though I know the match can't be that uncomfortable, I'm going to take the slap because at least like I'm on the ground and like I'm kind of comfortable. If he chokes onto you, he's 6'10", I'm 5'7". What if he throws me down incorrectly and like I snap my neck or like my ankle gets twisted? At least the slap probably doesn't immediately jeopardize my well-being. It just will hurt immensely. But I'll take the slap.
Honestly, I'll take the slap, but other than your reason, the chokeslam sounds fun. A 6'11 guy throwing you down in midair through a table.
I know,
fun.
But you're a small man compared to the Taker. I mean, and he delivers with raw power. So I'm going with the slap for sure.
Look, I'm taking the slap because it sounds fun. And the sound sounds funny. And imagine, like, your reaction after. That's what I'm thinking. Like, you might start laughing because it hurts so
bad. The one thing that would be better about the slam is, okay, you could talk to your friend and say, oh, I got slapped by the Big Show, whatever. If you say, I was chokeslammed by the Undertaker.
That sounds
That's
sick.
Like on the bucket list for some people, I'm sure.
It might
for
be.
Hardcore wrestling fans.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
I don't think even the Undertaker wrestles anymore.
No,
so.
But I'm sure he could still throw a mean choke slam.
He might. So, look, I got a feeling that we have to take a quick commercial break.
Yeah, a quick one.
Yeah, we'll be back. Radio.Dominican.edu. T-Baby has a man, and he ain't lying. Radio.Dominican.edu. Let's spin it up. Go out and smash it. Like, oh my God. Like, oh my God. Jump out that sofa. Come on. Let's get off. Fill up my cup. Drink. Mazel tov. Look at her dancing. Move it. Just take it off. Let's paint the town. Paint the town. We'll shut it down. Shut it down. Let's burn the roof. And then we'll do it again. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And do it. And do it. Let's live it up. And do it. And do it. And do it. Do it. Do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Here we come. Here we go. Shot, body rock, rockin' don't stop. Round and round, up and down, around the clock. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Saturday to Sunday. Get with us, you know what we say. Say, party every day, party every day. And I'm feeling that tonight's gonna
And gentlemen, my name, my God-given name, it's on my birth certificate, is DJ T-Baby. Oddly enough, that is my name. DJ P-Ab is also in the studio. This is another episode of What Are You Talking About? And it is only available via radio.dominican.edu. We get about 13 minutes until Lady Madonna will be gracing the mics. So we still have some things to talk about. P-Ab, what's on your mind, buddy?
I love this song. I'm dancing.
Yeah, the song's
singing.
Great, but it's
Cyclone.
It's really meant as background noise. We're supposed to dictate the mics.
Oh, you're right, T. Okay, let's go back to this, T. All right, now we're going to go real sports. Dunk of the year now.
Good topic.
This is...
No, great. Great, not good. Great topic.
Yeah, great topic. Now we have... There's only two candidates because these were the nastiest
Nasty!
Guys. Honestly, filthy. And they smell so bad.
Yeah. Okay. That's a little weird, but
the first one, everyone who hasn't seen this on YouTube, you guys must be lying to say I haven't seen this dunk.
Blake, I mean, they might not have seen it. It's possible.
It is possible, but they must be lying.
No, they might not be lying, but it's possible.
Listen, T, can I
finish
this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey. I'm going to slap you like the Big Show.
Go ahead.
Blake Griffin's dunk over Kendrick Perkins. Mm. Okay, I'm going to tell you the dunk. That was just nasty. And then second, LeBron James dunking literally over John Lucas, like literally jumping over him.
Yeah.
So there's different ways to explain this. Now, T-Baby, I know you're a big Blake Griffin guy.
Yeah.
You think he's athletic. I want you to analyze that dunk over Kendrick Perkins.
Okay, the thing, if you haven't seen it, I'm going to try to do my best to pay it justice. It's the second time in Griffin's career I've seen him with this type of dunk where he ends up... Okay, he takes off from a pretty far distance. Kendrick Perkins, even though he's the most butthurt player in the history of basketball, he is a good defender, so dunking on him is respectable. Griffin takes off from a far distance, just cocks back his right arm incredibly far back. Perkins jumps to contest the dunk. A lot of people would just try to take a charge and get out of the way. Yeah. Perkins tries to contest it. But with Griffin's height and athleticism, he just rises over Perkins, cocks his arm back, it seemed like 30 feet, and essentially ends up just throwing the ball into the hoop. His fingers actually really only seem to nick the rim. I've seen that happen at one time before with him. His fingers just nick the rim. It's not like a heavy dunk. But it's such a sick and athletic and just, it's disrespectful. It's impolite.
It is.
It's just rude. This dunk was rude. That's why it was so awesome because it's unprecedented. You know, I mean, there's guys who have had great dunks, but this dunk was special.
And also, Blake did this again against the New York Knicks.
That's
over
right.
Malsa Kofabovic.
Yes. And that was when Amari Stoudemire just laughed.
And he laughed and he even like gave Blake Griffin a nod.
Yeah. Also, the thing that's impressive is he can't speak again. Since he ends up not really dunking, it's like he's just throwing the ball in the hoop, which is an impressive shot.
It is, because Dwight Howard did it at a dunk contest when he was Superman. But now I'm going to analyze LeBron James' dunk. Oh, jumping over John Lucas. First of all, John Lucas is a pretty tall man. Not basketball-wise, but he's tall. He's about 6'3". And that's tall. Or 6'2", 6'1", 6', 5'11".
I think somewhere around there.
But well, that's still pretty tall. And LeBron James, and the most impressive thing about this, it was an alley-oop. He didn't have the ball in his hands. He literally just ran, jumped over the man, and dunked it with two hands. And the more impressive thing is that the dunk was like a splash. And when I mean splash, I mean very clean. He caught the ball with two hands, jumped over John Lucas, and dunked over him.
It was fluid. It like looked really natural.
But imagine watching Blake Griffin's dunk in real time.
Okay, I want to say something about LeBron, though. For John Lucas is 3'6". So have you ever done track in high school, like the high jump? That's about what John Lucas is. So I'm pretty sure you could jump over Lucas.
Possibly.
That part isn't that big in my mind.
So now we're discussing which is the dunk of the year.
No, did anyone get that? I say he's 3'6". I'm being sarcastic. He's not actually 3'6". I'm trying to be comical.
No, I got you. But, I got you there, T.
Okay.
Look, maybe the listeners, if they don't get our humor, then that's their fault, not
ours.
It is.
It's their fault.
But we love you guys.
He's 5'11", 165.
Now, T, enough about this John Lucas. Which was the dunk of the year?
Okay, I'm going to take the Mike Wilbon approach. And what he said pretty much was, LeBron's had 100 better dunks than that. I'm not going to say 100, but probably at least 10. I wasn't that impressed with the dunk. Obviously, it's incredibly athletic. It's a great dunk, an amazing play. Should be number one or two on SportsCenter's top 10. It's not even, in my mind, a great dunk of the year candidate. I think compared to Griffin's, it's nothing. Griffin just absolutely blows him out of the water because of the athleticism on Griffin. Yes, LeBron's athletic, but Griffin just skied so high. And he did it against Perkins, who's one of the best defensive big men in the league. This is against Lucas, who's a journeyman point guard.
Look, T, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. I have to agree with you here because all this California love is just making me go with all this LA hype. I like Lob City. And the way that LeBron even handled the situation, he even tweeted to Blake Griffin saying, "Hey, Blake, I mean, your dunk is better than mine. I mean, I'm like number 6 compared to you." He even said that on his tweet. So Blake Griffin's dunk was just too out of the world crazy. I'm just saying, imagine watching that in real time.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin skied, cocked the right arm back, and threw it in the hoop. And throwing it into the hoop is a great shot. You don't have to touch the rim or anything. But he did it over a man that's about 7 foot.
Yeah.
And imagine, and these guys were going up in the air as well. So that's crazy.
What I wonder is, like, if you play horse against a guy like Griffin, can you call no dunks? Can I call no dunk? Because, like, that's a perfect horse shot. Like, well, okay, this is my shot. I'm going to jump 80 feet, cock my arm back 40 feet, throw the ball into the hoop with a tremendous speed, and I'm going to do it on Kendrick Perkins. That's my horse shot. Your turn. Right. Imagine that.
No, I got that, man. I got that. But, T, I guess it's time for your man.
My man. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we've been doing this segment since last season's show, actually.
That's
every
right.
week, I pick a man or men. Last week, I picked the 49ers,
yes.
The team. Even sometimes a female.
Yeah, yeah.
But for this week, Peyton Manning is my man. And I'll tell you why. You
What's
may
that?
Say, T-Baby, you're crazy. Don't you know Peyton Manning didn't take an offensive snap all year?
Broken
I
neck.
I guess snaps are only offensive. Didn't take a snap all year?
Broken.
Here's why he's my man.
Why's that, T?
Because the man has heart.
Yeah, that's true.
He has heart and he has toughness. I know a lot of athletes overstay their welcome and they play too long. But the thing is, in the grand scheme of things, almost every athlete is still relatively young. I mean, yeah, you have your Kurt Thomases, you have your, you know, some baseball pitchers playing until they're 50. Yeah, those guys aren't young. But guys who are in their 30s, you're still, like, relatively young. So Peyton Manning's not an old guy, and he obviously has the heart of a lion. He has one of the best arms in the history of football. He's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. And you cannot blame the guy for wanting to play. A lot of people are calling for his head, saying he needs to retire. He needs to step out of the picture so the Colts can get luck and there won't be a breakup. But because of his heart, because of his determination, because of his inability to quit, and inability can be used as a negative word. In this sense, I think it's a compliment. His inability to quit, he's not able to quit. He won't quit. For these reasons, Peyton Manning, you are my man, and I hope your neck heals up quickly, and I hope you take a snap opening day next season.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back. Radio.Dominican.edu. What are you talking about? We'll be back in 2 minutes. I saw you walking down on Melrose. You look like an angel straight out of heaven, girl. I was blown away by your sexiness. Now all I have to do is catch up to you. Slow down, I just want to get to know you. Me with your beauty, cutie. A butterfly tattoo right above your navel. Your belly button's pierced too, just like I like it, girl. Come take a walk with me. You'll be impressed by the game that I kick you. It's so thorough and real. Like a flower fully bloomed in the summertime. Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy DJ T-Baby with DJ P-Ab. It is What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu. We're going to finish up here in a sec. P-Ab, what you got for him? Ladies and gentlemen, we do this every week. This is my Let's Go Bro. First of all, it's got to be it's either Manny Pacquiao or Floyd Mayweather. Which one of them just got out of this fight? You don't know who it is, but now on May 5th, the fight on Cinco de Mayo is going to be Floyd Mayweather versus Miguel Cotto. What boxing fans don't want to hear. So, Pacquiao, Mayweather, get your stuff together, get in the fight. But now, I just got to say, man, guys, let's go, bro. You can't do that. And you're going to go and fight in May? You can't do that.
Can't do that.
No, can't do it.
Can't do it.
But, man, you can't. Come on, man. I mean, Floyd, you want to fight Manny, and Manny, you want to fight Floyd. Just get that stuff together. T, what's up?
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to get out right now, but 3 minutes till Lady Madonna's on. And just so everybody knows, radio.dominican.edu is broadcasting shows today up until 10 p.m., ending with DJ Lucky 9 to 10. So stay locked for the next 6 hours to radio.dominican.edu. It's T-Baby with P-Ab. It's What Are You Talking About? We'll be back next week at 3. Stay tuned for Lady Madonna's show.